The Old Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. Still to come on today's show, Tara Walker brings us her foodcast for May. Yes, and it's a twist of Italian this afternoon. We'll be heading to Bloom just ahead of the opening of the big festival at the Phoenix Park. We have tickets to give away for that one. And next on the show, it's the mediation process. If you have been or may be in the future involved in a dispute, this is for you, I promise you. Bill Holohan and Keith Kelleher are with us next.
The Late Lunch with Blackstone Motors Drogheda, Renault Dealer of the Year. Looking for an affordable used car? You don't have to break the bank to buy quality. Avail of incredible offers across our used range at the Renault Selection Sales Event from May 23rd to 31st. See blackstonemotors.ie.
In recent years, mediation has become increasingly used or considered as an alternative dispute resolution process in Ireland. In excess of 80% of all mediation cases are resolved, which speaks volumes for its effectiveness and why it's an important alternative to trudging through the courts. I'm joined on Late Lunch now by Bill Holohan, who's a solicitor and he's an accredited mediator, and Keith Kelleher, a quantity surveyor, who's also a mediator. And incidentally, the two boys, one is chair at the moment. Keith is chair of the Institute, the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators, and the man beside them, yes, Bill, is the former chairman. So we have high-powered men in the studio with me today on this mediation subject. Boys, you're very welcome to the show. What is mediation and how does this process work, Bill?
Okay. Mediation is when you get somebody who's neutral to help people sort out problems. Quick history lesson. Up to 200 years ago, legally, you could get the biggest, boldest so-and-so you could find to go out, beat the proverbial out of the guy on the other side. And the theory was God would be on the side of whoever won. Right? They abolished that right of trial by battle, as it was called, 200 years ago. They replaced it with getting the biggest, boldest barrister you could find to go out and beat the crap out of the other side, right? It's a very negative, destructive, aggressive murder machine, as I call it. If Padraig Pearse was alive today, he'd call it the murder machine, not the education system. The idea of mediation is, forget all that aggression, forget all the aggro, get into a nice, calm environment, take the emotion out of it, talk sensibly. And the mediator I describe sometimes like Humpty Dumpty, sitting on the wall. Except Humpty Dumpty sees both sides of the wall. Doesn't fall off. Legs are long enough to reach each side. But gets to see both sides. Sees if there's some common ground somewhere. Takes the emotion out of it. Calms everybody down. And helps them to decide on a solution that works for both sides.
You mentioned the barrister there. So what we're saying is this is an alternative, as I said in the introduction, to trudging through the courts. Yeah. All the time that's involved there. The expense, etc. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. Who initiates the mediation process? Tell me, because we mentioned court. Has it to be dictated by a court that you go to a mediator or what?
Under the Mediation Act, which commenced on the 1st of January 2018, the court can direct a case to mediation. They always could, but it wasn't something that invariably was used. But in the main, the majority of mediations come from, in the main, a solicitor who's kind of pro-mediation, sees it as a way of, you know, resolving the dispute for their client in the quickest possible way without having the torment of dragging something that can be solved today through a 3-4 year court process. Under the Mediation Act, solicitors, barristers as well, but predominantly solicitors, now have a requirement to go through the process of mediation with their client before they instigate proceedings. So that in itself will kind of, you know, it will always, from here on, it should always be the party bringing the pleadings, let's say, that will instigate in the main mediation.
And I take it that both sides must acquiesce to this. Both sides must agree. That's the basis of this to begin with, yes.
Well, both sides will certainly have to be involved in it. They will have to, like, engage in the process for it to work. But at the end of the day, you know, if both parties don't agree, there's no prerequisite that a party must engage in mediation.
Okay.
It's not compulsory. Now, the courts may give a different view on that when it comes to costs if you have refused to go to mediation and why it is you didn't go to mediation. But, you know, mediation works if you engage in it. It doesn't work if you just sit there with your hands tied together and don't.
And we're saying today it makes sense to mediate and not get involved in this other stuff. The choice of mediator, how does that happen? And do the two parties involved have an input there, Bill?
Yeah, but you have to try and get both sides to agree on a choice of mediator. Now, the important thing is to have a good mediator who's empathetic, can build up a relationship with people quickly, can talk to them on their own level, get them to open up and communicate. Lawyers used to default to getting the biggest, boldest barrister. And they'd say, oh, we have to have a senior counsel, an expert in this, that or the other. In our experience, there are some brilliant guys, but there are some guys who you would run a mile from. So it's important to get somebody who's a good communicator, can relate to people, can get them to confide. Because the idea is that somebody might not be telling you the full story. And if you get the full story, it can unlock it. Like Keith and myself actually did a tag team exercise a number of years ago on a business commercial dispute, heading for the High Court, winding up a very successful company. And it turned out that the reason why it was going there in the first place had nothing to do with the business. It was a personal issue that one guy didn't want to open up to, but he did open up to us as the mediators. We were able to tell the other person the real reason behind it. And once they understood where they were coming from, unlocked the entire thing. Stephen Covey, The Seven Habits of Successful People, talks about changing the paradigm. In other words, changing the perspective, how people see things. And he gives an example. Someone gets on a tube train, a couple of kids, fed on Smarties and Coke. They're hopping off the walls. Eventually somebody snaps and says, "Fuck's sake, would you ever cop on? Your kids are annoying everybody." Looks up, sorry, their mother is dying. I don't know how to tell them. Outcome, the pens and paper. Nowadays, there'll be iPads. But the whole thing was, reckless parent leaving kids run riot to man in tragedy.
Yes.
You know, when you get the full picture.
I understand, and the two sides, and you see, and it changes the paradigm and the perspective of everybody as well when you do that. The process itself, Keith, how long can this process be, or how brief?
It can be, the mediator, to a large degree, you know, in collaboration with the two parties, will dictate that. But, you know, statistically, the majority of mediations will be done in a day. Now, that's the mediation itself. Before a mediator, once a mediator is appointed, he will do what we call pre-mediation. So he will meet each side, or he will look to get kind of position papers, small, short, sweet, just to get an understanding. The thing to note is that the mediator doesn't come up, but this is the fundamental difference between mediation and why it works as opposed to any other scheme, is the mediator does not make a decision. The mediator is not there to give opinion. The mediator is not there to say what's right or wrong. He or she is simply there to assist the parties to come up with that decision themselves. So, you know, because of that, he doesn't need to know the root and branch, the pounds and pence on every issue. He needs to just have an understanding of what the issues are so he can move along and trash through that with the parties to move to a resolution. And predominantly it will be a day, one long day.
Lot of preparatory work. You meet both sides. There is a day. Are all parties in the room through the process in that day you talk about, and is the decision delivered to everybody in that forum?
Well, to get up on the decision, there's no decision.
Okay.
The people agree or they don't agree.
Okay.
And it starts off with what I call, I described it in Maynooth in January as a group hug. You get everybody in the room. Now, there's an American on the course who came up with a coffee and said, how do people in conflict in Ireland handle being asked to hug each other at the start of the day? So I had to go back in and explain. You might shake hands, but you don't do the hug. And I had a mediation before Christmas where at the end, the two parties did hug.
Yes.
There was a personal issue.
So it's agreement rather than decision.
Correct.
This is really, really important.
And it's looking forward, because litigation an arbitration, it's an inquest into what happened, and you're mudslinging backwards and forwards about who did what wrong in the past. Now, you don't have H.G. Wells' time machine. You can't go back and change things. You might ask somebody, well, if you could, what would you do differently? You can get apologies, and because it's confidential, you can apologise without it coming back to bite you. If you stand up in court and say, I apologise, judgment in our favour, please give us costs. In a mediation, you can apologise, and it's all confidential. If that apology is all somebody's looking for, that might clinch the deal. And then you focus on the future, not the past.
In terms of costs, you know, we mentioned the court there and having to go through the court process, barristers, lawyers, everybody else involved. I'm doing you out of business here, Bill.
I describe myself as a repentant lawyer who, having worshipped in the satanic church of litigation for 25 years, converted to the one true church of mediation 13 years ago.
He's seen the light.
But I feel like the Mormons would come knocking saying, we've come by Jesus. And the householder up to now has been saying, by Jesus, you can go. But now they're opening up the door and listening.
Call cost-wise, yeah, I suppose it is
way more cost-effective. It can be done quickly. It can be arranged quickly. You know, most mediators are readily accessible. There's no big drawn-out process of pleadings and counter-pleadings and statements of claim and all of that. So, the way mediation in theory works is that you go to a neutral venue. You will have one main room where everybody meets. You'll have a number of breakout rooms. So the venue in itself is a cost. You know, and given dependent on the number of parties will be dependent on the number of rooms. So there's a cost associated with that. But outside of that, it's a mediator's cost, which obviously will vary depending on the mediator. But that's generally the costs of the mediation are split between the parties. So it's a 50-50 split, which goes back to the idea that the entire thing is neutral. The entire thing is that nobody has power over the other party. Everybody pays their share. Everyone kind of owns 50% of the mediator, or whatever their share is. So there's no one party paying for everything. Now, it does happen, you know, if somebody really pushes a mediation, other parties might be able to afford it. You know, financial institutions sometimes do that. They see it as a better opportunity for getting a resolution of an issue, so they may pay for the mediator. But it's a fraction. Like, it will be a fraction of what it will be to go to litigation or any other system. But time is the main thing. You know, if you take any dispute that goes into the court system today, you will do well, and Bill is probably better than me to speak on this, but any cases of clients I have, 4, 5, 6 years going through a process, to come out at the other end with no more money than they were looking for when they started, if they are lucky. Mediation gives that in a much shorter time frame, and there's, you know, you don't have the aggression that comes with it, and that's fundamentally
last month, you know, there was a case due to come on the Monday morning in the High Court. At 9:15 on the Friday before, I got a call. Would I mediate? We started at 2:30. Now, at 6:00, I was saying, lads, I'm supposed to be in the Shelbourne Hotel in a dress suit with a drink in my hand at 7:00. Am I going to get there? I didn't. But we mediated throughout the weekend, and the problem was sorted before a very expensive High Court case was due to start the following week.
Terrific.
Yeah. And they arranged literally 9:15 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon.
So you can be standing on the steps of the court. It's still not too late to involve yourself in the mediation process. We're talking mediation on Late Lunch this afternoon with Bill Holohan and Keith Kelleher, who are mediators. Keith, I want to come back to you, because when Bill told me, I know he's a liar and he told us he's reneged and rejected or whatever he's done since. You are a quantity surveyor. So, you know, when I heard about that, I thought, what the hell is this fella doing coming to the show to talk to me about mediation? But the your line of business, this is big in this area, because I have a narrow view of this that many people may have.
Yeah, no, mediation, like the auspices of mediation, to a large degree, people do every day. So there's lots of people who mediate, even though they might not have been trained as mediators. Quantity surveyors fit into that role, where because we're kind of the financial middleman between a client and a builder, or, you know, generally that will be the case, we are mediating between two parties, whether we know it or not. So it's a natural fit that when you step outside of the pounds and pence of quantity surveying and the building industry, that, you know, you can mediate. It's a good fit for a quantity surveyor. The construction industry is full of disputes. It has always been full of disputes. It will always be full of disputes. We've been using a mediation type system called conciliation for, you know, since the 1950s in Ireland. Conciliation is mediation first, and at the end of the mediation, when if the parties can't get to an agreement, that the mediator gives a recommendation, and it's called conciliation. Now, it's a fundamental shift away from mediation once he gives that recommendation, but it has been substantially, you know, used in construction and has been hugely successful for resolving and keeping construction disputes out of court. But it is mediation first, recommendation really at the last hour, if they can't mediate it. So, you know, like, disputes in construction, it's part and parcel of the industry. You have that cut and trust. You have, you know, you have main contractors, subcontractors, clients, you know, design teams. There's a lot of pieces in the puzzle, and it can lead to a lot of friction, and that's why I suppose it's
so you're
it's
the
a
Lisa
good fit.
O'Brien of the
quantity. Yeah, Lisa's a good colleague of mine. Yeah, and we do exactly. Yeah, the Lisa O'Brien.
They know her well from absolutely. Room to improve. Absolutely. Bill, family law. Yes. Does family law fall within the remit of mediation?
Oh, big time. I mean, there's an entire kind of branch devoted to family law, in the sense of breakdown of relationships. And people, when they think about that, they think about, you know, the husband, the wife, the two partners, male, female, or even male, male, female, female, issues over kids, etc. But you also have the kind of the succession thing, where somebody's unhappy with the will, they felt they should have got more, or, you know, particularly with farms, traditionally the eldest son would get the farm. That doesn't apply anymore. People want their cut. You know, will that lead to the farmer generations being sold? There's a lot of mediation.
There's
of
a lot
those
of emotion
of
in those cases,
oh,
isn't
big
there?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a big growing area in Ireland, is particularly over about the last 4 or 5 years, has been elder mediation, which is basically where you have, you know, the kind of the mother or the father of you know, at retired age or older, and, you know, maybe needs the support 24-hour to go into a home or anything like that, and how the family can come to an agreement around how that works. You know, where that person goes, that there's a huge kind of, you know, mediation industry around that. So, you know, it just shows how, I suppose, wide ranging mediation is. Like, you know, you go to apartment complex disputes, you know, it's huge. You know, you've suddenly gone from a scenario where we have housing estates to a, you know, a part of Dublin which is 100% high rise. You know, you now have 50, 60 families operating in a very small confined area. There's requirements, there's rules, there's a whole plethora of things. They have to pay a bill every year. There's a whole mediation industry around that. There's mediation around boundary disputes. There's mediation around basically anything that you can think of that could end up kind of as a fractious thing between two parties can be mediated.
Do you ever hear the word principle much?
Oh, you ask someone to take out the checkbook when they use the word principle. I've a phrase, you know, how's being right working out for you? People say, oh, but I'm in the right and I want to go to court and I want to prove it. Now, in fact, if you get people to go through mediation first, at the end of a long day, they say, you know, God, that was rough at times. And it might be, but not half as rough as being in court would be. And they say, you know, I'm very glad that I came here and I sorted it out this way. But when someone says it's the principle of the thing, it can cost fortunes.
Yeah, the main thing that a lot of people want is to be heard. And it's fundamentally, if you ever listen to any court case, and I know so in a lot of cases you hear this in the criminal world, and mediation is not a criminal, it can't obviously resolve that side of the court system, but, you know, you constantly hear people saying when they come out of court that they didn't have their say. They felt they weren't heard. You know, you constantly hear that in disputes. Even in litigation, you hear where, you know, a party who's suing someone will say, I never really felt that I got my point across and things like that. Mediation gives that platform. You know, and in a lot of cases, emotion, principles, the aggression, this built up issue is really what it is. You know, I've mediated a case previously where a husband and wife against a builder, and, you know, in the opening statements, the wife literally had outlined how she, you know, her life had been ruined by this builder. He'd come in, he'd wrecked her house, wrecked her dreams, etc., etc. And She had a very structured way of getting everything she wanted to get off her chest. And it took about 20 minutes for her to say that. The husband supported her wife, and the builder literally was just there because he was a businessman, wanted this resolved, wanted to draw a line in the sand. But he heard her, and he got to listen to her in an open statement, and she was able to basically outline the frustration that had been built up over the period of the build. And in the main, that was all that she wanted to do. It wasn't really about the money, but it was about giving the platform to actually say what you wanted to say and be heard on the other side.
Isn't that interesting? Did you resolve that one?
That was resolved very quickly.
I thought that, you know, all right. So. You, are there, you know, what would I say? I want to couch this properly. You know, you mentioned the one at the weekend, yeah, where you had something on, yeah, but you went right into the, yeah, weekend. Is there little tricks of the trade that, as a mediator, now I say you do your job honestly and independently and everything that goes along with that, that at times can get an agreement? In other words, you stay up late, you know, yes, this type of thing, yes, late debates in the door, yes, they get a bill through. Is that part and parcel of it?
Yeah, I'm very interested in what makes people tick and what makes people thick, right? And understanding what's driving people. But, you know, it's, as Keith says, part of being heard. But then if you get the commitment from people, they'll stick with it. The latest I've ever settled something was at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't sleep much. I was okay, but people were beginning to lose the will to live. But they knew that if they walked away from it, they'd lose the chance to sort it. So they stuck with it, and it did get sorted. But sometimes, as Keith says, it's the emotion. I had a case before Christmas, a row over somebody buying out a professional practice. And the person who sold was very aggrieved about something. And they invested huge energy in the row for 6 months until they got to mediation. But actually, the reason that they were so het up, their mother had died. And they couldn't cope with the grief of their mother dying. And you have to be a bit of a psychologist and a psychotherapist and a counsellor and, you know, let people unburden to you. And as she told the story, she realised herself, with a bit of prompting, she was actually grieving for her mother, couldn't face it, and invested all her energy in the row. The row evaporated.
Isn't that?
Now, where would that happen in court?
Aren't these cases so enlightening to listen to them as well? Is it binding? This is a big question. You know, when you go through the process and, you know, you have to get an agreement and then an agreement is made and somebody walks out of the room, do they ever have second thoughts and throw their hands?
Buyer's remorse, it's called.
Yeah. Do you come across that?
Yeah. If you do a deal, it's a deal. Now, under the Act, you can specify it's a binding deal or it's a gentleman's agreement. But in the main, it's a binding deal. It's no different if you go into the courthouse and you settle on the steps of the court, that famous phrase, it's a deal. But usually people will stick. The important thing is have the decision maker in the room. You don't want somebody going home, getting the head taken off them and ringing up the following morning and saying, oh, Jesus, I was told I was an idiot to do that deal last night. You get the decision maker. And once it's clear that someone has the permission, authority, wherewithal to settle, and if they sign on the dotted line, done deal.
And to a large degree, this is where the legal profession do have a huge, you know, role to play in mediation, you know, outside of being the mediator. You know, the mediator's role is to facilitate the parties to come to an agreement. But that agreement, you know, can then go to a solicitor who can be present, who can be in the mediation, you know, advocating for their client, you know, and can facilitate making sure that that agreement does work, you know, before you leave the room. So there is roles there, you know, you can make it all encompassing a start to finish, the finish being having a legal agreement between the parties that is binding. And that's what most parties will aim for, you know, because it is true that if you leave the room and you sleep on it and you come back tomorrow, you may have a different mindset. But having spent a day or whatever trashing through the issue, you should have a fair understanding as to, you know, where it stands also.
So, the great beauty just to add to it is, in a mediation agreement, a settlement agreement, you can add into the mix things you'll never get in court. A judge decides in court, you're right, you're wrong, that's it. Hang the consequences. In a deal, you can say, look, I'm looking for a new job, will you give me a reference? And you can agree the reference. It could be, look, do the building works. I'm going to need to use your alleyway for 6 months. Can I use the alleyway? Yes, you can. All of that can be built into the mix. A bit of give, bit of take, and it works. And that's a win-win. In court, you have a lose-lose, or you have a win-lose. But you never have a win-win in court.
I'm going to leave it there today. The message is, mediation works. It saves you a lot of money. It's a very, very worthwhile process. It's mostly successful. And you're saying to listeners today, if you're involved in something at the moment and you are considering litigation of the court, it's not too late. You can do this. You have to talk to your solicitor, yes?
You talk to your solicitor is a good place to start. The Chartered Institute of Arbitrators, ciarb.ie. We have all a fully accredited panel of mediators, as does the MII.
So can they contact Institute. You directly, yes,
you
and
can
talk
indeed.
To you and
yep.
kick off the process like
Absolutely.
That? What's that again? Just give it out.
The ciarb.ie is the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators and the MII.ie is the Mediation Institute of Arbitrators.
There's a fellow on here, he says, Jerry, the World Cup is coming up. What did the mediator suggest I say to the wife for the best viewing? Name withheld for fear of life. I'm not going to let them answer that. I'm just going to tell you, get a second television. Anyway, for the moment, we're going to leave it there. It's been really enjoyable, enlightening. I've enjoyed your company on Late Lunch this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me, Bill Holohan and Keith Keller. Thanks
Thank you very much, Jerry.
The Late Lunch with Blackstone Motors Drogheda.